The New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 226. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Welcome! So glad to see you today. Today we rejoin Paul as he addresses the Corinthian church in his first letter, chapters 2 and 3. Let's begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I told you the secret truth of God, but I did not use fancy words or great wisdom. I decided that while I was with you, I would forget about everything except Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. When I came to you, I was weak and shook with fear. My teaching and my speaking were not with wise words that persuade people, but the proof of my teaching was the power that the Spirit gives. I did this so that your faith would be in God's power, not in human wisdom. We teach wisdom to people who are mature, but the wisdom we teach is not from this world. It is not the wisdom of the rulers of this world who are losing their power. But we speak God's secret wisdom that has been hidden from everyone until now. God planned this wisdom for our glory. He planned it before the world began. None of the rulers of this world understood this wisdom. If they had understood it, they would not have killed our great and glorious Lord on a cross. But as the scriptures say, no one has ever seen, no one has ever heard, no one has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has shown us these things through the Spirit. The Spirit knows all things. The Spirit even knows the deep secrets of God. It is like this. No one knows the thoughts that another person has. Only the person's spirit that lives inside knows those thoughts. It is the same with God. No one knows God's thoughts except God's Spirit. We received the Spirit that is from God, not the spirit of the world. We received God's Spirit so that we can know all that God has given us. When we say this, we don't use words taught to us by human wisdom. We use words taught to us by the Spirit. We use the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. People who do not have God's Spirit do not accept the things that come from His Spirit. They think these things are foolish. They cannot understand them, because they can only be understood with the Spirit's help. We who have the Spirit are able to make judgments about all these things. But anyone without the Spirit is not able to make proper judgments about us. As the Scriptures say, who can know what is on the Lord's mind? Who is able to give Him advice? But we have been given Christ's way of thinking. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Brothers and sisters, when I was there, I could not talk to you the way I talk to people who are led by the Spirit. I had to talk to you like ordinary people of the world. You were like babies in Christ. And the teaching I gave you was like milk, not solid food. I did this because you were not ready for solid food, and even now you are not ready. You are still not following the Spirit. You are jealous of each other, and you are always arguing with each other. This shows that you are still following your own selfish desires. You are acting like ordinary people of the world. One of you says, I follow Paul, and someone else says, I follow Apollos. When you say things like that, you are acting like people of the world. Is Apollos so important? Is Paul so important? We are only servants of God who helped you believe. Each one of us did the work God gave us to do. I planted the seed, and Apollos watered it. But God is the one who made the seed grow. So the one who plants is not important, and the one who waters is not important. Only God is important, because He is the one who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have the same purpose, and each one will be rewarded for his own work. We are workers together for God, and you are like a farm that belongs to God. And you are a house that belongs to God. Like an expert builder, I built the foundation of that house. I used the gift that God gave me to do this. Other people are building on that foundation, but everyone should be careful how they build. The foundation that has already been built is Jesus Christ, and no one can build any other foundation. People can build on that foundation using gold, silver, jewels, wood, grass, or straw. But the work that each person does will be clearly seen, because the day will make it plain. That day will appear with fire, and the fire will test everyone's work. If the building they put on the foundation still stands, they will get their reward. But if their building is burned up, they will suffer loss. They will be saved, but it will be like someone escaping from a fire. You should know that you yourselves are God's temple. God's Spirit lives in you. If you destroy God's temple, God will destroy you, because God's temple is holy. You yourselves are God's temple. Don't fool yourselves. Whoever thinks they are wise in this world should become a fool. That's the only way they can be wise. I say this because the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, He catches those who think they are wise in their own clever traps. The scriptures also say, "The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows that their thoughts are worth nothing." So there is not a person on earth that any of you should be boasting about. Everything is yours. Paul, Apollos, Peter, the world, life, death, the present, and the future. All these are yours. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. May God bless the reading of His Word. My goodness, such rich teaching from Paul today. But of course, that's what we expect from him, isn't it? As I see it, there were three main themes in chapters 2 and 3. 1. Spiritual immaturity versus spiritual maturity. 2. Man's intellect versus spiritual revelation. And 3. Elevating specific preachers versus honoring the God who called them. Today I'm going to just focus on one of those main themes, and that is man's intellect versus spiritual revelation. As you may know, the Corinthian church was located in Greece in the city of Corinth. At that time, the people of Greece honored intellectual pursuit above all else. They thought that man could answer or reason the mysteries of the world. And so, when Paul opens chapter 2 by saying that when he first came to them with the simple message of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, he was saying, "I didn't present the message in a way that you're used to, with big words and complicated reasoning." You see, Paul wanted the message to be simple so that the power of God would be the object of their faith and not Paul's skills of oratory or reasoning. And you might remember from Romans, he did have that ability to speak that way or to reason that way. But that's not how he came to the Corinthians. And he told them that even the simple message of the gospel could not be understood by even the smartest individuals unless the Holy Spirit revealed it to them. And this is something that we need to keep in mind even today. When I hear of debates between atheists and Christians, I have to admit that I'm amused. It's a lesson in futility. The idea that an intellectual debate will persuade anyone to change their mind about who Jesus is just ludicrous. The only way a man or woman realizes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born to a virgin, lived a completely sinless life, was put to death on a Roman cross for my sin and yours, was laid in a tomb, came back to life on the third day, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, and will one day come back to planet Earth to reign as King for 1,000 years, and then create a new heaven and a new earth where believers will reign with Him for eternity. The only way anyone comes to believe that is if the Holy Spirit breathes spiritual life into him or her and gives them the faith to believe it. All the arguments in the world cannot do that. Expecting someone who has not experienced that spiritual quickening to understand or embrace that is the same thing as expecting the family dog who brings in the newspaper to understand what is written in that paper. It's not going to happen. One of the things we often hear today is, "It's science. Science proves this. Science proves that." Wonderful. Great. In its proper place, science is great. I have a degree in biology. I know the scientific method. And that piece of paper that proves my scientific study is worthless in the eyes of God. It wasn't science that brought me to the cross of Christ. It was the grace of God. It was the realization deep in my heart that I needed God to forgive me of my sins. My friend, I'm not saying that we should not engage people in conversations about why we believe what we believe. But I'm saying that unless God reveals His truth to the heart of the listener, you can talk until you have no more words to say, and they will still not believe. Any such conversation must be done after much prayer. And as Paul said in verse 3 of chapter 2, "When I came to you, I was weak and shook with fear." Come to the conversation with humility, not arrogance. Ask God to go before you and prepare the heart of the one you'll be speaking to and prepare your heart with love. Well, there's so much more in these two chapters. I could spend an hour talking about it, but we've only got a few minutes and the time is up. So, I'm glad you came along today. Tomorrow's Friday, and I'll see you then. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.